Today's episode of Wine Time Fridays is brought to you in part by our friends at 3D Kitchens by Design and Elson Cellars.
Good times and great wines are meant to be shared. Since 2006, Elson Cellars, located a quick 5-minute drive from downtown Seattle, has been producing 100% handcrafted Washington wine from Washington's top vineyards. Visit elsoncellars.com for more information or simply call 425-298-3082.
If you're ready for a complete kitchen upgrade, 3D Kitchens by Design is the place for you.
Visit 3DKitchensByDesign.com for more information.
Located in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, 3D Kitchens by Design. Dream, design, deliver.
And then we also run our own small custom processing facility in Alaska, in Cordova, right where we fish. So, and then we do the shipping ourselves. I have discovered why nobody else does it, though, because it's a lot of work.
It's been a long week, right? Are you ready to wind down? Why not? It's time for the Wine Time Fridays podcast with Shelley and Phil. Neither are sommeliers, but both have a deep passion for life, each other, and of course, delicious wine. And now, here to talk about this week over a glass of wine is Shelley and Phil. It's wine time.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Wine Time Fridays with Shelley and Phil on this Friday, May 10th, 2 days before Mother's Day, episode 212. Shelley, thank God.
It's Friday.
Happy Friday. It's wine time.
Happy Friday. Happy Mother's Day.
Yes, and not only do we have another guest, we have a guest who's also a mother and who will also be celebrating this Sunday. We would like to introduce from Sina C, Sina Wheeler. Sina, welcome to Wine Time Fridays.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Oh, can I pour the wine yet?
Thank you for being here.
So we are in week two of Oregon Wine Month, and so we're going to actually do a whole lot of things. We've got a lot of firsts going on this year in our fifth season of Wine Time Fridays, and one of them, last week we were kind of talking about luggage. This week we're going to be talking about food that's coming from CNSC. We have crab cakes and Copper River salmon because we are pretty much in the main run of Copper River salmon. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
And we love Copper River salmon.
You know, and I've got some questions regarding that because I'm really curious why it's so popular. But before we start, we're going to open our first wine, which is from Hedges Family Wines, Sauvignon Blanc, which is their CMS. It's mostly Sauvignon Blanc. It's like 77% or something like that. I know by on good authority.
It is 77 Sauvignon Blanc, 21 Chardonnay, and 2% Marsan.
Marsan. I've got it on good authority that Sina's already opened hers. And so, Shelley,
I'm going to... Did you hear that? I might have even... started pouring ahead of beat.
Oh, the great sound of the pour. We have just opened a 2022 Hedges Family Wine CMS. And we're going to put that right there where you can't see it.
Sauvignon Blanc.
Let's do a proper Wine Time Fridays toast to health, wealth, gratitude, romance, abundance
and peace on earth. We need that. Delicious.
You know what would go really good with this?
Could it be crab cakes?
It could be. Wild Alaskan crab cakes, which we have. Now, this is a very intricate episode because we had to cook these up and we had to cover them up, if you can see on the YouTube channel. And so it's just keep them warm, you know. Let's see. Where are those? That silverware. We got it right here. Mm-hmm. We are completely organized. Don't worry about us. So before we dive into this and start talking about how these all come around and they look fantastic, I wanted to actually do our wine word of the week right now.
Okay.
Okay. Our wine word of the week is the CDA Gourmet wine word of the week. So now we have 3D Kitchens by Design, CDA Gourmet, and Elsom Cellars makes a really nice Albarino that would be fantastic with this. Mm-hmm. But the word of the week is complimentary.
Yes.
This describes a pairing where the flavors of the wine and food enhance each other. So it's like it's more than the sum of each, whatever that is.
So when you're pairing wine and food, you can go two different ways. Complimentary, you can put the flavor sorts together, or you can do total opposites.
Right, right. And people tend to have the food they're going to have and then say, what are we going to pair with it? Not often do they do it the other way around, but that's almost all how we do it because we're featuring wine. And so what foods would go with this? Today, we are pairing these crab cakes from Alaska, from Sina Sea. And Sina, while Shelley and I stopped talking, would you explain a little bit about this whole idea, how these come around? Because they're
how you got started.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Well, I would say we got started a long time ago because we're a fifth generation fishing family. So my grandfather learned to fish in Norway from his father, who learned from his father. So we go back quite a ways, but we fish. My grandfather immigrated to the Pacific Northwest, and we fish out of the state of Washington, but we fish in Alaska, and we always have. So my dad was a fisherman, and my husband is a fisherman and has been for over 25 years. So when it comes to wild Alaskan fish, We are the experts there, not on the wine, but it'll be really fun to complement each other. We'll complement each other like the wine complements the food.
Well, so when you bring this fish in from Alaska, are you going right there into Ballard?
So my grandfather lived right in Ballard and fished out of Ballard. Most Alaskan fishermen, there's a lot of Alaskan fishermen that are out of Ballard. What they will do is bring the boat up, fish out of Alaska all summer, and then bring maybe the last load down to Ballard and maybe sell in Seattle. But it's a big drive. It takes about a week in a fishing boat to get from Seattle to Alaska. So they save that to the end of the season.
Wow. So we used to have a cabin on a small island off of British Columbia. It was called Savory Island. And so I did a lot of fishing for salmon up there.
And we used
to have a shrimp boat that came in, and we got oysters and clams. So I've always loved seafood.
Oh, that's the best. That's a really good spot. So that's the good stuff from there.
And Sina, I fell in love with crab cakes from Elliot's Oyster House. They're on the waterfront in Seattle. They make their own crab cakes and everything. These are phenomenal. These are fantastic. Have you had a bite of the crab cakes now with this Sauvignon Blanc?
I just took the crab cake. Now I've got to go for the wine.
So
I'm like, oh, I have to go back now. Hold on.
I love this.
So I read the ingredients on these crab cakes, and they're really good ingredients. So
well, there's a lot of crab, too, you might have noticed. They're pretty much.
It leads with crab.
You can't pack any more crab in there.
No, I don't think so.
I'm really liking this. I feel like it's really standing up. I feel like they have enough flavor to stand up with the wine. I'm liking it.
Yeah, they do, definitely.
So we've had this question brought up a number of times. Do you take a sip of wine and then a bite of food, or a bite of food and then a sip of wine? And the answer is yes. So and you did just that.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. Yeah. Both ways.
Yeah.
So
when these are sent out, they are sent out frozen. People can buy them on your website and they're sent out frozen.
Yeah, we actually specialize in frozen. So most of our salmon and fish we do frozen. So we do premium quality frozen right up in Alaska. So we're unique because I told you about our fishing history, but my husband fishes. And then we also run our own small custom processing facility in Alaska, in Cordova, right where we fish. So, and then we do the shipping ourselves. So we, I don't know anybody else that does the fishing. We do fishing from other people as well. We catch, we have boats that we know, people we trust, and then we process and we ship to your door. So I have discovered why nobody else does it though, because, it's a lot of work.
A logistic nightmare, isn't it?
Logistics are incredible. But yeah, crab cakes are a great way to have the crab. And, you know, in order to make your own crab cakes, we do sell the crab frozen and you would have to shell it and do all the work. And so a lot of people, you know, they might buy it and do all this prep and it's like, well, how about we'll just make it one step easier and these crab cakes mm-hmm. are already made and formed and you just cut them out of the package and heat them up. So that's pretty nice.
Yeah. Yep. We recently, we had the Madeleine Angevine.
Angevine.
And mm-hmm. I went and tried to find some crab cakes. We had yours, didn't want to open them because of this episode, but I went on the lookout for them. I'm sorry. They're like $25 per crab cake at one place at Anthony's. I'm like, yeah, no, it's not going to happen. And so the value on these, the value on these, it's $65 for four of them, and they're 3 ounce, and they are fantastic. And you have to understand, crab cakes, you can make some really bad crab cakes. It will ruin your taste for crab cakes.
That's
for
true.
For the rest of your life. These are not them. These are going to make you want them more and more.
They will impress your company.
Yeah, very, very good.
If they're entertaining, these would be great.
So great I mentioned band. The Elson Sellers Albarino. That would be really good with this as well. But there are some others as well, like rosé. A nice mm-hmm. dry rosé would be very good. Would pair. That's with the salmon. Sorry.
A rosé would go fine with these.
It would. Mm-hmm. It would. And then, of course, unoaked Chardonnay, Pinot Blanc, and
Pinot Gris.
Probably Pinot Gris. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of them that would go really, really well with this. We felt like the Washington Sauvignon Blanc would pair really nice with this. Who knew it was going to be so hard to find? Sir, Sina, did you have difficulty finding this CMS?
The CMS, actually, I found, well, on my second spot. We're a little bit rural, so it was, but I have seen this, and in fact, they had it at Costco.
Oh, good, good.
Nice. Yeah.
I guess I didn't check Costco. I went to four places that typically you would find this, and the fourth place had it. But
that's why you didn't go to five.
That's why I didn't go to five. That's why I didn't go to Costco.
If you found it on the third place, you wouldn't have gone to the fourth place.
Thank you for pointing that out, Miss Shelley Webb. We're having too much fun. By the way, all of these, you're going to get links in the show notes for how to get the crab cakes, how to get the Copper River sockeye salmon, which is coming up after the break, as well as these two wines, some information on that. And I'm putting a link to CNSC, the entire website, because you offer a whole lot. So one of my questions I had for you about the traditional fishing techniques that have been passed down through your family, how has that evolved?
It's interesting because in some ways it hasn't evolved at all. And then in others, you know, of course it has. So I think that, when my grandfather immigrated, all his brothers got boats and they all started longlining. They longlined for halibut and black cod mostly. And a lot of the longlining techniques are the same. The way they do it on the boat, I used to go up on my dad's boat when I was a teenager, and the way that they do it on the boats now, so much is the same of the physical logistics. The long line goes and lays on the bottom of the ocean. You bait the hook, you know, that kind of thing. I think what's changed the most is when my grandfather fished, they would fill the boat. They would go out for a month. They go out for 30 days and they would fill the boat. And, you know, the bottom fish might not be so fresh and they just didn't, they put some ice on it but just figured, sure. Well, you know, we lose some on the bottom, no big deal. When my That was my grandfather. When my dad fished, they would go out. The time started shrinking, so they go out for a couple weeks or maybe a week and deliver faster, and that's for fresher fish. And now for Rich, I mean, he goes out for a day, 24 hours, one day, 2 days, and they're bringing that fish back. So the whole industry, the fish is coming back much quicker, and it's all about that time temperature, getting it to the customer much faster.
Are you trolling when you're laying that line on the bottom?
No, it's long lining. It's called long lining, and it's very, because it's one long line, it is like maybe over a mile, a couple miles long, but it's just one line. Wow. Every 3 feet is a hook with bait. Nothing very fancy, and that hasn't changed at all.
Wow, so it's not like, well, you do that even for the salmon up there, huh?
No, that's for the halibut and the black cod. And then salmon fishing, we gill net. And so each fishing type is highly regulated along with the fish and the species and then the way that you can catch it. So for salmon, we gill net and it's caught kind of, I would say the mouth of the river, but you might imagine a small river. It's the Copper River Delta is 300 miles wide, full with islands and sandbars. So it's where the water, the ocean is meeting the river is where they catch out in the ocean, but very close to the shore. And they're using gill nets and the boats have to be under 32 feet. So it's just one or two guys on a salmon boat or a family. We take our family up and they're setting a gill net. And the gill net is very specialized for if you're catching sockeye or king or the time of year with the colors and the net sizes.
Interesting. So how long does that line lay down on the floor?
So for halibut and black cod, that line is down. I would say they do a set and they soak it for maybe 6 or 8 hours. And then they come back and they're going to have it's a line on the bottom. Then they have both ends have a line up to the top of the water with a buoy. So they go back to the buoy, put it on the gear, and then it pulls up that long line.
Interesting. Yeah. This is fascinating.
That must be very heavy. Well, you hope it's heavy.
That takes hydraulics. And really, if you might think you're pulling in the line, but you're pulling the boat along the line. The line isn't moving. The boat is.
Right. Backwards, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you seen a decrease in the, I guess, the harvest or the product? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's a really interesting question because it's highly regulated. So halibut and black cod are federally regulated. So they use a quota system. So what it is basically everybody that has quota it's the pie. And then they go, okay, this year, based on the catch from last year and based on their data, they'll go, we're going to increase or decrease the size of the pie. And then everybody's quota would be a sliver, right? So one year your sliver might get bigger and one year it might get smaller. And that's dependent on the prediction for the overall harvest. So
that
I would say it's very complex and it changes. It's different. I mean, it can be different on different years. Sometimes it'll increase, sometimes it'll decrease. I would say that, you know, overall things like the halibut, when my grandfather was catching halibut, they were much bigger. And now it would be less common to get those huge, huge halibut that would be a couple 200 pounds. Those were very big. And so we're getting a smaller size of halibut more often, things like that. So the size will, and it also shows you how the species is doing it. If they're getting a lot of small sablefish, they might decrease the quota for the next year and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Last year was quite small. And this year, Rich just went out for black cod or sablefish. And he said it was one of the best fishing years in terms of the size and the abundance that he's seen in a really long time. So it really does fluctuate.
That is interesting.
Something real quick about the Hedges family estate that makes this CMS. They emphasize sustainable farming practices and they use biodynamic methods in their vineyards. We're seeing a lot of that trend these days, which is great. Mm-hmm. They're known for their Red Mountain wines. We love Red Mountain wines. This is not from Red Mountain. As Shelley said, 77 Sauvignon Blanc, 21 Chardonnay, and just a kiss of Marsan. But Shelley, can you talk about how you prepared? Because I am curious. You know, you can prepare crab cakes a number of different ways, right? How did you prepare it?
I don't think you can prepare them a number of different ways.
Okay, let's just go
with
two.
I guess you could bake them if you want to.
There you go. Okay.
You saute them on top of the stove. I sauteed them in butter instead of olive oil because, you know, the more fat, the better. But so they have a nice little crunch on them, which
yeah, they do.
Also good for, if you have butter, it's also good to pair it with the Chardonnay.
That's very true.
So we've got Chardonnay in here.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, this is a very soft Sauvignon Blanc. It works really, really well with this.
But you could also, you know, you could choose your sauce as a tartar sauce, or if you want maybe some Tabasco, some kind of pepper sauce.
Sina, do you use any accoutrements like tartar sauce and Tabasco and things like that? Or do you drip a little, lemon or something like that on this?
It just depends. A lot of times I do the crab cakes, like for entertaining, and I might do sort of a platter and I might have several different dipping sauces and do one with lemon and herb and things like that. Rich had them once. A chef came up to Alaska and was doing this great outdoor cooking experience, and he made what is the sauce you put on eggs, Benedict?
Hollandaise?
Hollandaise sauce.
Yes, he made a hollandaise sauce by scratch. And Rich has just forever been like, it was the number one best way to eat these crab cakes. And of course, I have not been able to replicate it.
Well, we have.
Yeah, that sounds delicious. So do you have recipes on your website?
Yeah, we actually have a lot of recipes, mostly for the fish. We sell a lot of salmon and the whitefish that I talked about earlier. And we do a lot of recipes because that's often what holds people back is, you know, they can be a little bit intimidated about how to cook fish. So we try to make it really easy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to go all red.
All red.
Well, a little, I guess, salmon color, but red wine. When we come back.
Your kitchen is the heart of the home. It's where family and friends gather during the most important and festive days of the year. It's oftentimes where that first glass of wine is poured. Through decades of designing dream kitchens for people looking to upgrade the most important room in the house, 3D Kitchens by Design is second to none in making those dreams come true. When it comes to upgrading your kitchen, why should anyone have to pay higher prices than necessary or sacrifice quality for affordability? With decades of experience in the cabinet industry, we've seen trends come and go, but there are some things that never change. People want quality, service, and affordability. We provide that and more, offering today's designs that will stand the test of time. So we give you one job, dream it. Dream your kitchen and then let us take it from there by designing it and then delivering your dream kitchen.
Visit 3DKitchensByDesign.com for more information.
Located in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, 3D Kitchens by Design. Dream, design, deliver.
Welcome back to Wine Time Fridays with Shelley and Phil on Friday.
We have this thing. I like small forks. He likes bigger forks. You have to have the right fork.
She likes small forks, and she cannot lie. Yeah, that's right. So that's not even rehearsed. We are here with Sina Wheeler with Sina C, and we just had some of their crab cakes, wild Alaska crab cakes that were sensational. And Shelley, we only had one of the two, so we get to have some a little bit later after this episode, which will be very, very cool. We are moving on to really the kind of the fanfare product. There is so much talk about Copper River salmon. Everyone gets excited when that season opens up. The Copper River is supposed to be not only the finest salmon in the world, but also the first commercially available wild salmon to open every spring. We are in the middle of May. We are in the middle, well, the 10th, but We are in the middle of the Copper River Run. I have a really important question to ask you, Sina, because when I valeted down in Seattle for many years, one of our accounts was Elliot's Oyster House. Mm-hmm. And they had this huge Copper River Salmon event. Alaska Airlines has this huge, we're bringing it in on the first time. And it's a big to-do. Yeah. I've always felt like it's a little bit of a marketing thing.
So tell us why it's not.
Yeah.
Well, you know, a lot of people wonder that, like, is it all hype? Is it all marketing? But I think they're truly the best fish on the planet. And I'll tell you why. And all of that marketing, you know how that happened. They gave the Copper River Salmon to chefs. And chefs are the ones that started the hype. And so, yes, it's marketing because that was really smart marketing because chefs know good fish, right? But the reason the Copper River Salmon is so great, number one, like you mentioned, it's the first wild salmon available in the spring on the planet. So you catch the salmon when they're spawning and it's the first available. So everything's been frozen all winter, there's been no fresh salmon available. Everybody's really ready for it. So that's part of the hype. There's just nothing else available. And then secondly, it has a really high omega-3 fat content. So salmon, like wine, has wine is the terroir. Am I going to say it
wrong?
Terroir.
Terroir
is, it's, you know, the flavor affects where it was come from. Well, salmon are the same way. So the flavor of the salmon is from the river it was from. And each salmon spawning from each river is a different species. So they are all slightly different. So the Copper River salmon, they have higher omega-3 fatty acids. So they have a higher fat content than other salmon in other rivers. And part of that reason they figure is because the Copper River is so, so big and so cold and so difficult that they have to put on extra fat to migrate back, you know, to spawn. And so they think that's how it evolved that way, that the Copper River have the higher fat content. But fish is like beef, where the higher the fat, is sort of like the higher the grade. So the fat content is what makes it taste really good. And lucky for fish, it also makes it healthy because it's healthy omega-3s. So we really get the double whammy on fish because it makes it taste better and be healthier.
Well, we just opened a 2021 giraffe from Oregon, Pinot Noir. And one of Shelley and I's very, very favorite pairings is salmon with Pinot Noir. Mm-hmm. It is so good. And so we have this delicious little salmon that is cooked up with mushrooms on it.
How are you going to share that?
That's
a little difficult.
Oh, you know what? Not really. Check this out.
You'll put the camera down?
Yes. Okay, so you can see, if you're watching the YouTube channel, this is what it looks like.
Ta-da! Ooh. Wow. So we did this in a masala style. So you've heard of chicken masala, and now this one is Copper River salmon marsala.
And how did you get the idea to do a marsala salmon, Shelley?
I received a recipe.
You did?
Along with the salmon.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's great because people are like, oh, let's try this.
Yeah, we put a recipe in every box for that exact type of fish that's in the box. And because it's fun, to get a new recipe and try something new. And like I said, it helps people if they aren't quite sure, then they know what to do with it.
Right.
Okay, I did not make a good cut on mine.
I'm going to try mine too.
Oh, there's so much flavor.
A lot of flavor, yeah. Really good.
Am I getting the marsala in that? Is that, I'm going to get a little of that?
Maybe.
All right. Now, how does it pair with this Pinot?
Let's see.
Oh, wow. Oh, I like that.
It is good.
It's fantastic.
Mm. It's very good. So this salmon comes with skin on the bottom, which is always nice. You can broil it better that way.
It's coming off, and I ate the skin the last bite. I might eat this whole thing if I'm not careful.
Yeah, I eat the skin, especially if it's been barbecued, if the skin is a little bit crispy. You know, again, because that fat content, if it gets crispy, I think it's really good. But this is really tasty. Mine is very herby. I don't know. I don't always follow recipes perfectly, but I put maybe extra herbs in, but I'm really getting that, and it's really a nice compliment.
Did you make the same recipe?
I did. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. That's perfect.
Yeah. It's a good recipe with some thyme, some masala, mushrooms.
What's the stuff on top other than the mushrooms?
It looks like a little bit of thyme.
No. Stuff? Yeah.
That's just from sauteing it.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Creates a crust.
So, kind of a timeline on Copper River salmon. Early May. And by the way, we are having last year's Copper River salmon. Am I right about that?
Yeah, we freeze to last a whole year with premium quality, which is really awesome. So we sell the previous season right up until, and it'll open. It opens, the salmon decide the opening date. So it's always right around May 15th. But when the salmon hit the target numbers, so they let a million salmon you know, go through and spawn. And then we only fish twice a week, but it's all so tightly regulated that the returning numbers are what determines when it opens. So we're expecting.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah. Yes. It's regulated very tightly for sustainability, and they actually use fish counters and they count the fish every day, and the fish have to meet certain targets every day to open the fishing. So we expect it to open. We expect it May 16th this year. That's what when you go up to Alaska all the time, my husband's up there already getting ready, and it's everybody has a speculation and, you know, has an idea, but it's really the fun and exciting part. It's like, you just don't know. You don't know if it's going to be a great year, how they're going to come back, you know, if they're going to be big and beautiful, and they have been. So it'll be fun to see.
It's like the Kentucky Derby, which just happened last Saturday. And they're off. Nets go in the water.
It's exactly like that. There's a timer, and like those nets don't go in the water until 7 a.m. And there's helicopters. And I mean, it is.
I love it. I really love it.
We'll have to go up there sometime for that.
In a hot air balloon.
No, not that.
Go in a helicopter and watch. It's very exciting. We've had, like you said, the big hubbub. I mean, we've had a helicopter actually come to one of our partners' boats and lift off the first king salmon. And then he took it straight into Anchorage because Alaska was getting jealous that Seattle got to make the big deal about Copper River. So they said, well, we want the first one.
I completely get that. You know, all the good stuff goes outside, you know, back in the day, Washington apples went other places and California avocados. Yeah. All of that stuff. So you had a question.
So how far ahead of time do you know? Like, is it hours or a day or
a few days?
They will let them know for sure. The opener, I think they'll give them about 3 or 4 days. Notice. And then we know it's always they open on a Monday or a Thursday. Oh, okay. And throughout the season, if the numbers are good enough to open, it'll always be on a Monday or a Thursday. So the fishermen kind of know, okay, it'll open on Thursday or it won't. But that way they kind of can plan. But it's very exciting the whole way through, you know.
So I got the timeline off your website. Early May, you start pre-selling a limited amount. Copper River King and Sockeye. We are having the Sockeye. We have the Copper River Sockeye. And it'll be shipped in the last 2 weeks of May. Now, mid-May is kind of like he just discussed. It's right around. I mean, we're on the 10th. Next Thursday is the 16th. And that's where your kind of expectation day. So it's probably not going to be on the 13th. But could be. But probably not. And then it would be after that on the 20th. So it's either probably the 16th or the 20th that you're thinking,
That's what we're thinking.
Now, the end of May, they'll be shipping the frozen and fresh, never frozen. The frozen, both frozen and fresh. But it says never frozen. What does that mean?
Well, so I have to be very careful because we ship frozen year round and it's a big deal. But when we try to sell the fresh, it's fresh, never frozen. And it's very hard to use the right words because a lot of people use the word fresh to describe great fish. Like, you know, the salmon we're eating today tastes so fresh. And so it's really hard for me to describe this fish has never been frozen. It's going to arrive refrigerated. It's so I call it fresh, never frozen. And so just for a couple weeks, we offer the fresh, never frozen. And really, that's to celebrate the opener. But it's also because, like we talked about, the hubbub of the fishing. Well, we are selling the fish as fast as we catch it. And we literally don't have time to freeze it. We're getting it out the door that fast.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So it's going out on dry ice, I would imagine, anyway.
So when it's frozen, it's going out on dry ice. And when we professionally freeze, we use heavier duty packaging. We individually freeze like you guys got. We wrap in parchment paper and freeze professionally. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to – it will arrive on dry ice and perfectly rock hard frozen. And the fresh – we don't freeze it. We use special packaging so it breathes because if it's fresh, it needs to airflow, unlike the frozen. So it's a completely different packaging, and then we'll ship it on gel pack so it doesn't freeze. So it's a real change up for us and our customers, but it's worth it because we just want to get that real special treat to everybody.
And then do you ship it overnight or 2 days?
Yes, we ship overnight. So we ship on Mondays or Tuesdays early in the week, and we ship overnight. And in the end of the week, we just hold the orders and wait because we don't want anything to get caught up, you know, over the weekend or anything like that.
Yeah.
I can't stop eating this.
Well, that's good.
This is so good.
It's so good.
Even Lucy, our schnauzer, was on the floor when I was cooking this, and she's barking. She doesn't usually bark
for
food. She was like, give me some.
A quick little shout out to Erath. By the way, we are going to have
Oregon wine.
Oregon wine for Oregon Wine Month, yes. And we're going to have both of these wineries. We'll feature them at some point because Hedges is a player in Washington. And Erath, they started in 1965.
That's a long time ago.
By Dick Erath, yeah. And one of Oregon's wine pioneers. So, you know, we actually have some very monumental wines, but these are also wines that their price points aren't going to break the bank. And you can usually find them all over the place.
Including Costco.
Yep. including Costco. The Hedges is about $14, give or take. And this Pinot is about $16. Shelley, finding a Pinot that's good under $20 is not easy.
It's not.
And this is a $16 really Pinot that's really, really good.
And this one's 97% Pinot and 3% Syrah, which is not something you see every day.
No.
It's adding a tiny bit of Syrah. So I think that actually makes this go really well with this fish as well.
Speaking of price points, the fish is $94 for 4 6-ounce portions. We are halfway through our first 6-ounce portion. And again, the price is actually fantastic given the quality.
Mm-hmm. I mean, given what you can get in the supermarket even.
Yeah.
It's not much less at all.
What is your top selling product, Sina?
Our top seller is the Copper River sockeye that you're having. That is definitely, we try to cut enough and hold enough that we can sell it year round without selling out because it is everybody's favorite. Well, I should say, you know, Copper River King is the best of the best of the best. It can be quadruple the price. It has the high omega, you know, even higher fat content, but it's so limited. You know, not everybody can have it. Not everyone can afford it. And not everybody, it's limited in quantity. And so that's a big deal on the Copper River King. And I always say if it's in stock, get it. But year round, we sell the Copper River sockeye, and it's what we eat year round also. And it it is the, it's the best without being the kind of the king is the elite, I would say.
Right. How do you, are both the king and the sockeye running at the same time?
Yeah. When it opens, they're actually managing or counting both the sockeye and the king, and the boats are catching both. They'll target, they can target with where they catch and the size of the net holes, for sockeye or king, but they don't open unless the target numbers are hitting for both, because they're caught side by side and they run side by side.
And will you catch the same, either one in the same net?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So the king are a little bit bigger. So a fisherman that's kind of, if you're going for king, you might have a little bit of a bigger net size, but then you might, some sockeye might swim through. So that's just part of the art. You know, fishing is, there's a lot of science, but there's a lot of art too. And so they're catching both. And, you know, some fishermen are known for catching one or the other, you know, where they go and things like that. But they
it's
do.
It's like any fishing place. It's mm-hmm. like, I can't tell you my favorite fishing spot because then you'll know where it is, right?
Oh, that's you have so no funny. Idea. They have secret radio groups where they use codes and stuff. This is very serious. Yeah.
That is freaking awesome.
Is there such a thing as coho Copper River salmon?
Yes. So Copper River coho runs in the fall. So the coho salmon, it opens in late August and it runs through September. And I'm not honestly sure why. I think it's because the rivers are lower, but it's a really popular for sport fishing. So the town will get really full with sport fishermen coming and they go out on boats or they catch it in the river. So they're using a pole and catching coho. So it's really popular for that. Coho is, it's so perfect. You know, nature is so amazing. And I'm sure it's like this with grapes and things. But the sockeye comes in the spring, is so perfect for the grill. I don't like to put a lot of sauce on it. It has such bright flavor. But coho comes in the fall and it's much more mild. It's more buttery. And it just goes perfectly with, you know, sauces or more recipes. It's like as you come into the house and you start cooking, maybe slightly different off the grill or with recipes, the coho just really lends itself to that type of cooking. So it works really well.
So maybe a little more baking and then adding the sauce.
I do baking. And then I do a lot of, where you might kind of like this recipe where you might sear it or saute it and then do a creamy sauce and then put it back in the sauce and let it just kind of finish and bubble and finish cooking in the sauce. So a little bit saucier like that too.
Really soak that up a little bit. Yeah.
Mm, yeah.
I was going to ask, you know, other than the king being bigger than the sockeye, what are the other differences? Because I know that there, you could lay both of these down and you could identify two or three or four things that are different between the two.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's fun to talk to wine people because you guys can do that with wine, right? And I can look at a piece of salmon. I can look at somebody else's picture and go, oh, that's that. I know that that's sockeye. So sockeye has the bright red color and you can see the gorgeous bright red color. And sockeye is known, it retains its color even when you're cooking it. So it gets a little bit lighter, but it's still bright. We have so many people that respond to our social media and tell us that, it's food dye or like that we're using filter or something. And it's like, no, Copper River sockeye is really that red.
I am glad you brought that up because that is one of the things that is a trick in merchandising salmon in the stores is and I don't think the stores do it. They get it this way, but it is a dye that they put in there to make it look pinker and more appealing. And
that's a farm. Yeah. That's a farm salmon thing. It's too bad. You know, a lot of farm salmon would have no color, but they put it in the food that they eat. And so a lot of times, they're paler. Basically, you know, they don't want to, I don't know. It's more expensive to give them more dye. I don't know. It's when you get into the farm stuff, sometimes it's a little bit too crazy for me, but typically they're never going to reach that color of wild Alaskan sockeye, that bright, bright red. And so people are so surprised. They see our fish and they can't believe it. And so King is, has, and the sake has a bold flavor too. So it's that bright red with that matching bold flavor. And delicious. The King is milder. So you're going to have a lighter color, just a little more pink, and it'll turn lighter when you cook it. And then the flavor, there's so much fat that it actually, the flavor is mild. It's very buttery, but it is just literally so silky and melts in your mouth when you eat it. You can't believe it.
I'm staring at this and I'm still hungry and it's making my mouth water.
I need some more.
This salmon did come from a farm, but it's a natural farm, not inhibited by nets and all of this. This is as natural and as nature is going to present. And I love that.
Well, I would say no farm so we don't confuse people, because wild versus farmed is a big thing.
It is. Yes. Yes. We're going to take one more break. And when we come back, I want to find out how Sina and her husband met. And we're going to actually unveil one of our Wine Time Fridays charity sips, a toast to good deeds, when we come back.
At Elsom Cellars, winemaking is an art that brings people together through stories, friends, and community. Owned by pioneering winemaker Jody Elsom, they've spent over 15 years handcrafting 100% Washington wines that highlight Washington State's diverse growing regions. Through sustainable viticulture and by thoughtfully sourcing from distinctive vineyards, Elsom Cellars creates wines filled with the energy of their urban production facility. Stop in to experience their hospitality for yourself through tastings and events at their Seattle winery just south of downtown. Or to experience exclusive wines and events, join their popular Corks on the Loose wine club. Discover Elsom Cellars and why they believe great wine helps to build strong communities. Check out their upcoming events by visiting elsomcellars.com. Follow them on social for the latest on everything happening at the winery, or simply call 425-298-3082.
Welcome back to Wine Time Fridays with Shelley and Phil and Sina, and a very pestering is Lucy.
She's lying down right now.
Thank goodness.
Don't mention her name.
When we went to break, we had the enticing question of where did Sina and her husband meet? Ooh, I sound like a soap opera. When we last met, Sina, shed a little light, would you?
Well, Rich and I grew up on the same small island in the Pacific Northwest. It's Vashon Island. It's between Seattle and Tacoma. And it's the Rock. That's right. Yep. That's what they call it. You have to take a ferry
to get
there.
Just so you know.
Okay. Yep, I'm from West Seattle. All right. Yep. So, you know, that's where we're from. And it's still, you have to take a ferry. And the ferries are very bad these days. My parents are still there, and visiting them is very difficult.
Wow. Do you know the Knox family?
Oh, I don't think I know him, but I'm sure Rich would. Rich knows everybody on Vashon. Well, Rich knows everybody everywhere. My husband, Rich, he knows everybody on Vashon. And now that he fishes in Cordova, which is also a small town, he knows every fisherman there. He's one of those guys that remembers everybody.
We were in Alaska in 2017, and I remember distinctly. So we were on a cruise ship, and we went to a couple ports of call, and the cruise ship Wi-Fi was so bad, and we were still working. So we'd get into port and find the first library to get some Wi-Fi to knock out some work. Shelley had more than I did, apparently, because I found myself on a bench. It was a July, 72-degree day in Sitka, eagles flying everywhere. I was watching the fishing boats come in and out. I'm like, this is really cool.
It's really cool. And I don't know if you noticed, but 70 degrees in Alaska, just it feels like 85. I mean, it's different, and it's amazing. But those beautiful days there, I mean, Cordova, it rains all the time. We go up every winter or every summer. But those 6 days of sunshine are worth it. The snow-capped mountains are shining. And like you said, there's eagles. I mean, it is incredible.
How far is Cordova from Sitka?
It's up north a little bit more. So Cordova is, it's it's right about in the bend of Alaska, and up there is Prince William Sound. And so Anchorage is across Prince William Sound from Cordova. But Cordova is a small town. It's a fishing town, but there's no roads. It's because the Copper River is so big and incredible. Mm. They don't have any, roads that cross it. So you have to get in by plane or boat.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. Well, this episode, we have one of our Wine Time Fridays charity sips, a toast to good deeds. We have started this last year and we've been trying to do one a month. Mm-hmm. Shelley, we sometimes are back on our heels, but this week we are featuring and focusing on the Copper River Watershed Project, otherwise known as the CRWP. Sina, I've got notes about this, but I would really love to hear you talk a little bit about the Copper River Watershed Project.
I love supporting the Copper River Watershed Project. It's really important as fishermen and as family fishermen. It's important for us to support the wild salmon stocks, of course. Fishermen want more salmon just like everybody else. And the Copper River Watershed Project, I go and talk to them every year that I'm up in Alaska, and they do really incredible work. And, you know, sometimes it's not the flashy stuff. When I first talked to them, they kept talking about culverts, and I'm like, okay, but I need something for the website, something cool, you know? No, they brought me out. Well, you want to come and see? We're going to put in a new culvert. So they invited me out to check out the construction. And my goodness, I mean, the culvert they pulled out was like a couple feet like this, and they had a road crew and they opened up the road and they put in a culvert that you could drive a small car through. It was under the road. And so they said, you know, this is so huge for salmon, and it's the salmon fry that they're learning so much more. You know, they don't just go from point A to point B. They have to go from freshwater to saltwater. And they actually do a lot of going back and forth. So the streams, it's not just one huge river. There's all these meandering fingers. Like I said, it's a 300-mile wide delta. And so these little fingers have to, you know, it's not a tiny culvert. They figured out that it's like that would send them rushing through. They need to be going back and forth. So anyways, from that day when I saw what they were really talking about, it was just like, oh my goodness, they coordinate projects with many different, so they're working with the DOT and others. So they work with several different big organizations, but they're working to get these big projects done that, you know, no one organization can get done on their own. So their partnerships, I think, are a big part of what they do, but it's all for salmon habitat and things like the weeds that are the non-native invasive species. None of it is exciting sounding, but it really all makes a really big impact. So I've always loved working
with them. How do those weeds get there, non-native?
You know, that's a really good question. I will ask them when I get up there.
First of all,
birds eat things.
Birds do eat things, that's for sure. But it's still, there are places in the world that non-native things will flourish aplenty because the environment is similar to where they are native. Mm-hmm. Alaska's not one of those places.
You wouldn't think that.
Okay. So the fact that these non-native weeds are actually flourishing there, and they're not good for the native salmon and other vegetation, it's just very interesting because it would have to be some similar climate.
So do the salmon going from fresh to salt to fresh to salt, do they have to acclimate? Because that post puzzled me how they could do that.
I know. It's really incredible that they do that. And then they go back. Mm-hmm. It's like, and so I think that it's like when you learn it in biology in fifth grade or something and you forget, but – But it is this kind of going back. So I think that that's part of this. They're dipping in, and they're sort of have their biology has to change as they move downstream, mm-hmm. which is really fascinating.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because if they go from one place to another and there's more salt here, that throws in more water, and then
back to the terroir,
you get
right?
pulmonary edema and all of that stuff. <right? laughs>
Can you tell Shelly's been a nurse? Pulmonary edema.
God. That's possible.
That's not very appetizing, Shelly.
Sorry.
And that's so funny.
Anyway.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. I wanted to say some of the wines we enjoyed this week. I am going to give it my best to just zip through these, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Rocky Pond Stratostone White, Louis M. Martini Sauvignon Blanc, the Harumph Cabernet mm-hmm. Sauvignon from Napa Valley, Marisolet Chardonnay, one of our favorites, my gateway wine, Elsom Cellars Isabella, a beautiful red blend. These sound like a lot, but it's because we've had time between recordings. We have this red Burgundy. I'm not even going to pronounce it, but it's from David Dubon, Louis Auguste Bourguignon, Haute Côte de Nuits. I don't know. I can't do it.
Côte de Nuits.
Nuits. Thank you.
Côte de Nuits.
And a Lofos Zeno Mavro Rosé, which we found at Grocery Outlet for like $5 freaking dollars. And it was really good.
It's from Greece?
Yeah. Yep.
It's from
Greece. Yep.
That was amazing. So we need to go get some more.
We will be getting some more. There's a little tip for anybody who has Grocery Outlet. Grocery Outlets tend to buy similar things. So there you mm-hmm. go. Some things coming up. May 17th, Pinot Grigio Day, which would go great with these crab cakes. World Chardonnay Day.
A dry one.
A dry one, yeah. Mm-hmm. World Chardonnay Day is the 23rd and the 21st. Rick Backus did the one on the 23rd. Luke,
it's 2 days.
I know, it's so dumb. Luke Marquis with Molly Duker is coming up.
From Australia
in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then in June, we've got Bubbly Day on the 5th. That could be every day. National Rosé Day. Rosé all day, every day on the 10th. And we have Kara and Keelan Dixon from Rosemary Manor to kick off Idaho Wine Month, which we're super excited. Next week, of course, Jim Anderson and Matthew Russell with Patricia Green Cellars out of Oregon. More Pinot Noir. We love Pinot Noir. We're getting our fill of Pinot Noir. Did you see what I did there?
I saw.
And my name is Phil.
It's like a dad joke.
Yeah, well, I thought it was funny. I think Sina laughed. I just didn't hear it.
I did.
She was trying to be polite.
She's trying to be polite. And then, again, a huge thanks to today's sponsors, 3D Kitchens by Design, where you would prepare this lovely meal. Elsom Cellars, where you might have that Albarino to go with this lovely meal. Mm-hmm. And of course, going back, we don't normally highlight twice our wine word of the week, but CDA Gourmet, which is sell all the tools you would need to prepare this mm-hmm. meal in your kitchen. We thank them as well. Sina, you guys keep doing what you're doing. This is fantastic. It's so rare to get the quality like this.
It is, yeah.
At the price point like this, that is just unbelievable.
And now we're going to have to put seeing the Copper River opening day on our bucket list.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
By the way, do you have a membership program?
We have a subscription program. So you can get fish sent every 1, 2, or 3 months. And just like the cooking, you know, we're trying to just make it easier for people to get fish. If you have it there and it's in your freezer, I guarantee you'll eat more of it. You know, you'll pull it out and eat it. So we're just trying to make it easy and get it to your house. And we let people really, really flexible with it. You know, what type of fish and how often.
I love that. And by the way, why wouldn't you buy into the subscription? Because then you always have this on hand. And
you don't have to worry.
Don't have to worry. Sina, thank you very, very much. This has been a true delight.
It has been, yes. I love learning about that since we used to fish kind of up there when I was young.
Yeah. So we'll go ahead and say, with a little bit of knowledge, wine and food become a little less overwhelming. Thank you for listening today. Sina, thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Continued success. And we will see you all next week with those from Patricia Green Cellars. Yep. Wine Bell.
Rich Perry, founder of 3D Kitchens by Design, located in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, loves a nice glass of Cabernet Sauvignon. But he says it just doesn't taste the same in an outdated kitchen. Your kitchen is the heart of the home. It's where family and friends gather during the most important and festive days of the year. And it's often where that first glass of wine is poured. 3D Kitchens by Design has seen trends come and go, but has figured out a way to provide quality, service, and affordability in their kitchen designs that will also stand the test of time. Dream your perfect kitchen and then let us take it from there by designing your kitchen and then delivering your dream kitchen. Visit 3DKitchensByDesign.com for more information. 3D Kitchens by Design. Dream, design, deliver.
Since 2006, Elsom Cellars has been producing world-class Washington wines while exploring complex vineyard sites east of the Cascades. Their woman-led team creates small-lot wines that reflect their commitment to community. Experience it all at their urban winery just south of downtown Seattle. Visit ElsomCellars.com, follow them on social for their latest on everything happening at the winery, or simply call 425-298-3082.
Thank you for spending part of your day to wind down with Shelly and Phil. Remember, you can listen to any episode of the Wine Time Fridays podcast by visiting WineTimeFridays.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And join us on our Wine Time Fridays Facebook page, Instagram, YouTube channel, or on Twitter, which is @VintageTweets, for daily conversation. Until next week, here's our toast to you. To health, wealth, abundance, gratitude, peace on earth, and of course, romance.
Okay.
Salmon colors.
You finally got that. That's good.
Because I'm wearing my salmon.
Oh, did you do that on purpose?
Yes.
That's so. Can you tell the color of her blouse?
That's good. You're good.
She is good. She's so good. I just don't ever notice it anymore because I'm just too used to it.
By this time, Sina could do the introduction.
I know. That might be going on the front.